Ching, ching, bling, bling, let us cutteth the chatter. In today's episode, we explore the power of perseverance, the Sarpong Chronicles. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life, from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others, and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else. It's Monday, that's why. There's a fire within
my soul. Let it burn.
Just one look and I can hear a bell ring. One more look and I forget.
You go, girl.
Whoa, whoa.
Monday, Mia. Here I go again.
My, how can I resist?
You can't. Monday, Mia.
Does it show again?
Why not? Let's talk about an issue. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we made it back to the place where we like to talk wealth, health, and everything else. So why not talk about a real issue today? Let's talk about perseverance. Is it really easier for some than it is for others? All we could do is explore each other's stories and see where that takes us and what we can learn. I learned that our shout-out streak went to five as a grade 9 student, ninth grader for our U.S. friends, answered, "Video killed the radio star." A big shout out goes to Eric from Mississauga. Great job, my friend. You kept the streak alive. This week's crazy karaoke is easier than me playing my older brother in a game of one-on-one. If I play him right now, I would have to give him a point for just hitting the rim. So with that in mind, let's get the streak to six. You know what to do. Contact me by email, david@tuccitalks75.com. If you are enjoying the content, subscribe to the podcast. The more support I get, the happier I become. The happier I become, the more courageous I get with my topics. The more courageous I get with my topics, the more controversial it becomes. The more controversial it becomes, the more talked about it gets. The more talked about it gets, the higher the chance for some change. Basically, subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends. With that said, let's get into last week's recap. What did I learn from having Dino on the podcast last week? Are we really that naive? I mean, I had no clue that capped wine and corked wine was the exact same quality. I definitely thought corked wine was the more expensive wine. That shows just how effective marketing really is. But we all need to just take a moment and understand this world is priming you to be an unmitigated consumer. I remember taking my CPAFLA certification many years ago. It's basically a fitness and lifestyle certification. And I recall the instructor telling us that the individual fitness test would basically be on average $25. However, if we went to corporate to execute these appraisals, he recommended we charge $150 for the exact same test. Why? Perception. If it's more expensive, it's better. Tell me that's not happening on some level in your mind right now. So just be aware. Spend less than you make. Invest the difference. Preferably in Bitcoin, because we are on the precipice of a major bull run. And then you can buy as many bottles of wine as you want with the profits you make. It's that simple. Thank you to Dino for reminding me that marketing is just a game that I'm not interested in playing. Let's move on to my guest today. I have known this young man for over 15 years. I met him as a young 14-year-old when he attended St. Francis Xavier Secondary School. He went on to get a degree in information technology at York University. He tested his entrepreneurial skills when he opened a bar in the East End of Toronto called Nomads. He is a huge advocate of Huey B. Hard work beats everything. It is now time for me to welcome Asari Sarpong to Tucci Talks. So welcome to Tucci Talks. Thanks for coming on the show today. I want to do some authentic sharing today. There's a lot of history between us, but I just want to give the audience some context and frame this discussion. Sounds good. I coached you in basketball in what, the mid-2000s?
Yep, 2004, 2007, around that time.
Okay, so yeah, around the mid-2000s, and there was a lot of character shaping, a lot of growing. We had a lot of success on the court, but I do remember this. You guys telling me, as men, apologizing to me for not being able to win a championship for me. You felt bad for your coach. Why did you do that?
Because you put so much time into us. Like, I don't think people would understand, but at that time, right, you didn't really have kids at the beginning. You know, you started to have your kids, right. But we were your kids, you know, and you were with us like a lot. Because I remember one season we played maybe around like 40 to, I might be exaggerating a little bit, 40 to about 55 games in a season. That's a lot of time.
That's a lot. So there, that's what I mean about that. You guys had like a selflessness, and you're apologizing to me years later as adults. But do you remember what I said to you guys about not winning a championship? I don't think you do.
If you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think you said something about it meant more that like who we became as men than not winning the championship. If I'm not wrong.
No, you're not. So yeah, I basically said we won the championship. We're celebrating it right now. You're all grown up, educated, successful, and becoming hardworking, compassionate young men. And to me, that was a championship because what I was really aiming for, and I just used basketball as a platform because that was my hook, because you guys loved it, was to teach you skills in life. Like when I would say show up on to practice on time, make sacrifices for your teammates. And you remember when I would say, if you're on the bench and I chose a teammate to play over you, you got to encourage that teammate, be supportive, but be prepared. Always be prepared because you're one moment away from being called upon. So I want to ask you, how important was basketball to you as a kid?
Basketball was everything. And when I mean everything, I mean everything. I ate basketball, I breathed basketball, I slept basketball, and that's in like so many different forms, playing it, watching it.
Right.
It's funny now, like, you know, when you go to, say, university or even grow up, people study tapes.
Yeah.
Back then, we didn't have access to everything. We were trying to find DVDs. The internet wasn't what it was. We're using LimeWire to try and study to get any type of videos to help my game get better.
So are you guys serious? What would you study?
So for me, and I have them in DVDs. At that time, it was like the basketball, greatest handles, stuff like that. So
gotcha.
You just want to watch them so you can study it. Watch how they move. Watch their body language. Like, this was before you even knew what studying was. You're like, you're trying to really imitate them. You're like, how did he do this? How did he get there, you know? So that's what it was. Literally all day, every day.
And then practice what you would see?
Mm-hmm. Practice what you liked or practice what you want to do. And practice it over and over and over.
Yeah. So this is how I remember you. Are you familiar with the story of David in the Bible?
Of course.
So he takes down Goliath with the slingshot, one stone, and he believed that God would be with him. And that's why he didn't want any armor to battle this massive Philistine. Are you a little bit religious or no?
I'm very religious.
So anyway, that, like I said, that story reminds me a lot of you. Because you were a small dude, constantly challenged, and you were constantly coming through, even after failures. And that's why I titled this episode, The Power of Perseverance, The Sarpong Chronicles. So tell us, what are you up to right now? I know you recently purchased a house, so congrats on that.
Thank you. Right now, I'm just working. I work for a company called Beam Centauri.
Okay.
Liquor sales. We sell our liquor directly to the LCBO. So brands you may know, like Canadian Club, Maker's Mark, we sell those directly into the LCBO.
Okay.
Before that, I opened a restaurant with some friends called Nomads in the east end of Toronto. We closed down during COVID.
I don't know where somebody told me that. They're like, Coach Asari opened the, I can't remember who, but it's doing well. And you, it was like, what, a couple years you had it?
So officially that bar was open for just a year.
Okay.
But I was working for a friend of mine who owned another one, another Nomads in Port Credit. So that one's been open for about 2 or so years.
That's the one I thought you owned.
Oh, okay.
That's the one in Port Credit. Yeah. And didn't have a, wasn't there an, the name originated from somewhere? You named it Nomads for, there was the story there.
Yes. Yeah, so Nomads. So I always ask people this, what's a Nomad to you?
Just go wander. I don't know.
Exactly. So you got it. So a Nomad, a traveler, a wanderer, right? And basically the majority owner, his name was Jonathan Harvey. He came up with the whole concept. Basically the thing behind it was he felt like in this day and age, with the way people travel, like nobody has a fixed address. So okay. We're all wanderers or travelers. We're Nomads. All right. And that theme tied right into the food. So the food was basically from everywhere, right? From all over.
Okay.
And that way you're not like stuck to a certain food style, right? You can literally change it at any given time with what's popular in the world.
So you then opened, so did you have part ownership with that one?
Import Credit? No, I did not.
So how did you get the one in Toronto? How did that come about?
Okay. So Jonathan had some partners. And basically, I had a background in the restaurant along with my other friend. His name was Irvin Mamatag. And he said, hey, I want to work with you guys. So he basically, in a nutshell, he proposed an idea of us working together. Because, you know, I had a huge background, worked over 10 years at Earl's Square One.
Yeah.
Did it all. Started from the bottom, you can say, from setting tables, you know, to serving, to on the bar. They asked me multiple times to be a manager, but it wasn't something I was aspiring to do.
Yeah.
At the time, I felt like I was just kind of passing through. I was in school, you know, it was quick money. But
you must have learned a lot in that experience.
Oh, so much. So much. And I learned even more when I stepped into an ownership role.
Right.
You know, learned so much more. And I feel like you can keep on learning because I feel like with that business, it's never changing.
But I don't even think with just that business. I think in life. I feel like we should always be looking for opportunities to grow and learn.
100%, right? It's like reading a book, right? There's always a new page and every day you don't know it's going to be on that page.
Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of discomfort, a lot of uneasiness. So how uneasy were you like actually going into the role of owner?
Uneasy? I wouldn't say uneasy. I would say naive. That's what I'll say. I'll say naive because I didn't even really fully know what I was getting myself into.
Why? Did you think I'm just going to make all this money and it's going to be all great?
100%. You're like, you know, you feel like you got something big going. You're like, oh, you're going to be rolling the money because you see, you know, all these other people and you feel like they're doing well. But you have to understand, you know, success takes time. You know, it takes time. And in the restaurant business, it can take a lot of time.
And the restaurant business is hard.
Very hard.
So what was that turning point when you realized it's not going to be easy, this success that I thought that I envisioned?
Well, I think it started or it came in like the first 3 months. Right. We had an expectation of, for example, how much business we would be making.
Did you invest a lot of your own capital in this?
Yes, I did actually.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good chunk of change. You know, it wasn't anything crazy, but it was a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
Right. And when you notice that the business is not what you expect it to be, right? You do your research or you do your homework and you're expecting things and they don't turn out right away. Like,
so are you all in though at this point with this business?
Oh yeah, I was all in.
You're all in, okay.
I was all in. You know, now I did have some time where I could have pulled out, but that's not in my nature, right? Because you're like, just because it's not perfect right at the beginning,
you
see it through, right?
So this is 3 months in. And at what point does COVID hit?
COVID hits, I'll say maybe like 9, 10 months in.
Okay. So then take us to March 2020, COVID hits. Mm-hmm. Was the business up to that point, did you start to see through the hard work and the follow through, were you starting to see some return? or not yes, even.
We're definitely seeing return. So now, you know, we're building a little bit of a name. We're starting to get a lot of parties booking because we had a big venue. And it was something where you're like, this could really be something.
Right.
It could really be something.
So you're getting, you're feeling that excitement.
Oh, we're feeling the excitement because even the neighborhood was really taking us in. They're really embracing us.
Right.
They're talking
right.
about, they're like, yo, if you guys just stay with us, like this is going to be something.
Right. Right. So then COVID hits.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to shut down.
Got to shut down.
So now you're paying the lease or the rent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How right. long do you do that for?
We do
like,
that
what's
for
the discussion? I mean, a lot of people are struggling, and when COVID hit, they decided they had to take some make really big decisions mm-hmm. on directions in their life. You know what I mean? So what was it for you guys at what point? Because you said you had to close down. So what was the thought process? At what point do you say we're closing?
So luckily for me, I'll say I teamed up with a very smart individual. And I told you, the majority owner, Jonathan Harvey, he's been in there. He's an entrepreneur. He has his hands in many different things. And he kind of like saw the way it was going ahead of time. It was like a point guard. He saw the play and he was looking at how much we're paying in rent.
You're right.
And we're like, potentially with no end to the end in sight.
Yeah.
We'll just be bleeding. So right away, the discussion was had, right? About potentially shutting down. And he went and talked to our landlord, right? Because we're leasing that space. And the landlord had another restaurant in another building.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of saw it and basically said, okay, let's shut it down. Now we had to pay some money. We took a little bit of a loss.
Right, right.
We took a little bit of a loss, but luckily we managed to get out like above water, I would say. You know,
and,
we're swimming.
And you're good right now.
I'm good.
Despite that, persevered through that, and now we'll look into what's on the plate for the future. But right now, I want to go back to where it all began.
Okay.
And like I said, I want to share some stories. And do you remember when you were in grade 9, our American friends say 9th grade, I would run Saturday basketball, okay?
Yes.
Do you remember? I remember this story because I remember your response to it years after, and I only found out later your response to this. So we would play pickup basketball on Saturdays, and we had a main court, and then we had a smaller court. Do you remember that?
100%. I remember that.
And I remember on one Saturday, you came to me, you're in grade 9, and you said, can I play on the main court with you guys? And I said, I looked at you like, who is this kid? Do you I basically.
I'll never forget that.
Dude, I basically punked you. And I said, get to the other side. You're not ready for this side. And I just basically kicked you off to the other side. And then we have tryouts a few weeks later or whatever the case may be. I'm just framing it for the listeners. You're mm-hmm. trying out for the basketball team, first year high school,
mm-hmm.
with all your friends. It was a tough tryout. I would you say I was a bit of a jerk back then?
Or not maybe point in maybe time in my life, I
in
thought
your, yeah.
you were the biggest jerk. Hated your guts.
Right. So at that point, you're thinking, I'm a little bit of a jerk here, right? So you try out for this team. All your friends make it. You don't. Can you take the story from there, what you did, what that moment was like, and how that impacted you?
Yes. Okay. So coming into high school, the dream was to play on the basketball team. Thought we're going to make it. My best friend, Andre, made it. Another of my best friends, Clint, made it.
Okay.
Suki Graywell made it, to name a few. I didn't make it. And I remember, you know, after that list came up, seeing it, I'm not sure exactly when, but on that day, I came into the gym. I saw you and I asked you, you know, like, what did you see? Or like, what can I do next year? And you told me, come back next year.
That's all I said to you?
That was it. Come back next year.
Okay. I want the audience to understand, the listeners to understand. Back then, like you had 90 to 100 kids coming out to a tryout for 12 spots on a basketball team, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I seem a little bit curt, I want people to understand that. Take it away. Go ahead.
Yeah. So
you appreciate that though, right? Asari, like you're talking about 100 kids.
And of course at that time, like you don't understand it, but you are right. There was way too many kids. And like you said, you have to pick 12. Yeah. You have to pick standouts, you know? And yeah. It's not like, you know, it's one thing if you're like on like the fringe of getting, you know, of making the team. I wasn't. So it's like, I'm just another body in there. Like,
right, right.
But with that, like, I think I left the gym. I was holding back tears.
You were really like,
holding back tears. I walked home again with one of my friends who was on the list, Andre. Mm-hmm. Went home. I went to my bedroom and I was crying, punching the wall, punching the door.
So you're angry right now. Oh, man, is it safe to say, well, keep in mind, you're 14 years old. You're blaming me, right?
100%. It was okay. All your fault in my eyes.
Right. So then what do you do next? So you let it out. You're emotional for that moment, which is fine. Totally understandable. What happens next?
Well, reality hits in and, you know, you start to see the team starts to practice. It's reality. You're not on the team. And you're just like, what are you going to do? And I don't know when or what it was, but it's when I learned something about myself that, and it was really the ability to understand, I guess, what the truth is. I feel like with a lot of people, they don't want to actually face reality. And the moment I actually took in the fact that I wasn't good enough,
right?
The next step was, what do I need to do to be good enough?
Because this was so important to you to make the team.
Yeah, well, like I told you before, it was everything.
Right.
It was all I wanted at that time. And like, I felt like it had to happen.
Right. And I remember, okay, take it away. I don't want to ruin your thunder because I loved what you were telling me about what you did.
Yeah. So basically what I noticed, I was like, I was already behind. And so I was like, I couldn't get any further behind. So because my friends were on the team, every time they had practice, I had to make sure I had to practice. You know what I mean? I had to make sure I practiced. So I was practicing and I was in the basement, yeah. You know, just dribbling the basketball, trying to work on that craft. And, you know, I practiced every single day. So the days they practiced, I practiced. The days you guys weren't practicing, I practiced. You guys had games, I had to practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a lot. It was a lot, you know? And I'm surprised my mother even let me practice that much because you're bouncing a basketball late night.
Yeah.
It's because you're like, you got to get those hours in. You know.
So you were doing it late at night too?
Oh, late at night. Before, listen, you have to do your homework, you know, make sure, and then you have to get to it. So no matter how long it took you to do your homework, then I had to practice. You know what I mean? I had to practice. So right when I got home, I had like maybe 2 hours before my mother got home. If right. I didn't finish my homework in there, I'd do that, and then I'll practice some more. And so that was the routine. Then obviously on days when they weren't practicing, where they were playing, I had to make sure I was playing against them just so I can get that competitive edge. And I learned a lot. And I started.
So you mean you were playing against them like one-on-one?
One-on-one, 5-on-5, anything and everything.
Where were you playing them? At the community center?
Yep, Frank McKechnie. That was the main spot, Frank McKechnie. And then obviously we did play at Xavier as well.
Now I got to ask you, you got to fill some gaps. Were those guys, they understood you were hurt or did they make fun of you? Or is it a bit of both?
A bit of both.
And how did that feel?
Listen, it was rough when you're getting made fun of, especially in front of everybody too, and you got to keep playing. And like, you have an ego, you're young, right? And you're trying right. things, but then you're just not good enough. So when guys are beating you, talking smack, everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
And you're there, but you kept coming back. Then, you know, days when all the boys weren't there, we would play. Sometimes you're just practicing. They would teach you a little thing. And I was soaking it all up.
So you were listening.
Oh, listening, learning.
I think that's important for people to understand. It's okay to have failure, but listen to people, possibly mentors. Just listen, observe. And then comes grade 10, tryout. You make the team, right?
May I stop you for 1 second? Because I have to say this.
Go for it.
Everybody knew how bad I wanted to make this team. And I remember...
not me. I didn't know
not
that.
Not you. I mean, the guys, the friends, the guys that were in my grade. And they used to say, even some of the older guys, and they used to say, but what happens if you don't make it? I remember saying to them.
Is this for grade 10? The grade 10 year?
Yes. This is grade 9. This is grade 9 going into grade 10. Yeah. So when I'm practicing, I'm like, I'm going to make the team next year.
Right.
I said, what happens if you don't make it? I said, it's not an option. That's all I said every time. It's not an option.
Sorry. All you have to do is tell me. I would have given you a handout. I would have said, I feel sorry.
Right. Yeah, right. Come on now.
So grade 10 comes.
Mm-hmm.
And you make the team.
Yep.
I don't remember any of that. Was there any conversations we had, or is just you were one of the guys, you made your spot?
So what I remember, so at the end of the grade 9 year, you said something. At the end, when the tryout was done, the last tryout, you had everybody come together, put your hands in, and you basically said, hey, guys, you know, thank you for all for coming out. Not everyone's going to make it this year, but if not, you'll come back next year. You said that. The end of grade 10, you did a very similar thing, called everybody back in together. Thank you for trying out. And you said, guys, for those of you that don't make it, you have a choice. You know, you can take it. You can basically go home, cry. I'm paraphrasing a little bit.
Yeah.
Or you said, you can go home, you can work, and you can come back. He's like, because I know some guys that came back that got cut last year, worked hard, came back this year, and they're going to make the team.
Right, right.
I remember you saying that. And when I heard that,
you knew
I
you
felt
made-
like it was directed right at me. I thought it was directed right at me.
I love that.
I had a great tryout. I had an amazing tryout.
Right, right. I love that.
Yeah.
Now, during that grade 10 season, you didn't play much.
Nope.
The reason why, okay, I couldn't fill in those gaps. As a coach, you build trust with players. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that with you yet. So it's not like I didn't believe in you. I had the trust element with these other guys. But you did get playing time, did you not?
I did.
And then what happened? You were getting a lot of minutes. By grade 12, you're starting. Okay? You're a starter on the team, because that's where I want to move to now, because we are talking about perseverance. Do you remember what I would have you guys do for game days in terms of attire?
Yes, of course. We had to come in game day, we had to wear ties, we had to make sure our shirts tucked in, we had to look very presentable. It's like, honestly, we felt like we're professionals, you know? That's what I felt like. I loved it.
I think I would hang up your jerseys. I'd get the managers to hang up your jerseys for home games. Yep. in the locker room when you're ready to go. And the reason why I did that, I wanted a sense of, like I said, it helped with the discipline approach. Speaking of discipline, we were in a playoff game with one of our rivals, Loyola, and we were at their gym, and the best player on that team was Michael Hall. Do you remember him?
Oh, I remember.
And one of our players, Corey, gets into some foul trouble. I have to pull him, and I'm deciding who I want to put on him. And you step up to me and says, Coach, I'll take him. But I had an issue with that because he was like a foot taller than you. But you said, I got him. What prompts you to say something like that when easily, like I said, I thought he was the best, most talented player on the court at that time. You could have been easily exposed, and you would have been exposed to more ridicule if he would have dominated you. But you decided to step up to the challenge. How does that happen in that moment?
To be honest?
Yeah.
I want to say an understanding. Okay? Not everyone knows this. You would know this. One of my, you know, or how I became a starter, I feel, is that I had to figure out what I was going to do on the court, what I was going to bring to the table. And that thing I had to bring to the table was defense, right? We had scorers. We had a lot of guys who could score. I could score the ball pretty well, but you had, again, you can say guys that you trusted or some guys that were a little better scorers than me. So I had to work on the defensive end. Now, I think you would say Corey was our best defender, and I'll say you only say that because he was a little bit bigger than me.
Right.
Maybe a little bit stronger than me, right? But I really took defense as something to really push myself to, and I thought I was really good at defense. Now, becoming a defender is learning how guys play. Now, Michael Hall was very good in high school. He was super athletic.
Super.
But I thought his skill set was not the best.
Okay.
All right. And I saw what I believed at that time was that my defensive skills was good enough to hold him.
Because me and Coach Simmons are watching you play, we're thinking, did we make the wrong decision? Because you're talking about a foot taller. In basketball, that's significant. And I'm thinking, this guy's going to dominate us. And you know, in a game of basketball, in the playoffs, a 5-6 point run can determine the momentum and shift the game. Mm-hmm. And you locked that guy down. You literally locked him down. And so what determines this grit? Because you said you locked in, you understood what you needed to do to help the team. And I think the value in that is for life, recognize what you do well, accept it, and do it to the best that you can. And I think success could happen, not all the time, but for the most part. So what brought that grit about with you? Was it all the failure? Was it all the work?
It was a mix of different things. It was a mix of failure. You can say it's a mix of heart. You can say it's a mix of, I was with my brothers. On the court, I was with my brothers.
Right. And
as good as the defense I may have played for that time span, I also had four of the guys on the court who would help me if I didn't have it. Right. I think that's what made us good, great defensively as well.
Right.
That helps side where I could be good. And if I'm good and my brothers behind me are good, we become great.
So do you take the learning that occurred as a young man and the lessons learned as a young man in sport? It could be anything for anybody. It could be being a solo player on like a swimmer or a tennis player. It could be a musician. It could be a chess player. Learning this type of grit. Do you take that with you now in your life?
You can ask anyone that I talk to. When I talk about life, I relate almost everything to high school basketball.
So it was that poignant of a period in your life where you were, where it just pretty much shaped you. And you're how old now? 30 what?
31. 31 now.
We're talking like 16, 17 years ago.
Yep. And I feel like you can relate everything to it. Everything to it. You know, you could talk about the pressures of playing basketball. You know, the pressures of peers, pressures of people around watching, right? You can talk about your successes, right? You can talk about family. It all happened during basketball.
I'm thinking right now about students going through COVID now and not relating it to sports, but relating it to school and grades and maybe having pressures from parents or pressure from external factors that they don't control. And some, they don't make it. Mm-hmm. What determines this? How do we make it? How did you make it? Because you had to go through a lot in terms of the ridicule, in terms of the desire, like you said, lacking the athletic. You weren't a standout in terms of athletic. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to give some value to people who are listening, like as an underdog, as a David in the David and Goliath story. Like, how do you believe?
You know, the key I would say is, and people, you'll hear it all the time, it's to never give up, to go a little bit further.
But that's a little cliche. Everybody says that.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right? So you got to go a little bit further. You know what it is? To start. And the key is to start every single day. That's the key. Because you know what happens? Half the battle is you starting right away. Some people don't start.
So are you talking about like any endeavor in terms of like your restaurant thing?
Exactly. Anything, any endeavor, any endeavor. Whether it's, you know, for kids in school, you want to talk to a girl. If it's, you know, doing a math problem, a science problem, you got to start. Some people, they take themselves out of the equation.
Mentally, you're saying. Yes. Yeah, because they don't even want to fail.
Exactly.
One of my kids is like that. I'm working on it. Like my own sons.
Yeah.
And just, it's work. Mm-hmm. But would you agree? This is where I want to go with this, because like I said, you even were telling me you would do stairs after school your own. Nobody telling you to do this. Mm-hmm. Would it have been different if you didn't make the team in grade 10?
If I didn't make
the team. I know it's hard to say, but would you say, why do I work this hard? Why do I do these things? I know we're talking a little hypothetical, but I'm just trying to put it in that, frame it in that perspective.
Well, I would like to believe if I didn't make it in grade 10,
yeah,
I would have been even better now than I was. But again, you never know.
That well, what do you mean? You would have worked even harder in grade 10?
I think so.
So you wouldn't have given up?
I don't think so.
Because it would have been okay. Like a lot of people, for them, it'd be like, okay, I'm not going to play basketball. I'll do something else.
Yeah, because I really, really, really wanted it. I really wanted it. And my dream at that time was to play in the NBA.
So fair
if you,
enough.
If you want to play in the NBA and you can't even make the high school team, there's no chance. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the dream, and you have to put that work in. And I'll tell you today, I feel like most people say they want something or they want something, but they don't really understand what it takes to get there, right?
Cause and as soon as they have some struggle or some obstacle, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. So then I guess that's the practice of it, knowing I'm going to have obstacles. Mm-hmm. It's going to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to like it. That's a guarantee. So you got to have that mindset going in or else forget it.
Yep. And you ask any successful person. There is no successful person in this world who will tell you they didn't have any struggles. They didn't have any doubts. You know?
Yeah, no, I know. That's a theme on this podcast about persevering and following through, not giving up. I know these are all cliche, but that's why I wanted to bring you on, because you actually lived it for a very, very long time. And I want to think that shaped you into what you became now.
100%. You might not even remember this fully, but going into, say, grade 12.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, now I know that I'm going to make the team this year, you know, and I remember coming to speak to you. And I want to talk to you about, like, you know, starting. And you told me at the beginning of the season, I was going to be the sixth man.
Okay.
In my mind, there was no chance I was going to be the sixth man. I was going to be a starter. But you told me this. But I felt like you didn't know.
Right.
So I put in that work. Lo and behold, I started every single game that year except for one. Except for one. Okay? I was one of, I believe, two starters that started every single game. Okay, except one. And the only reason I didn't start that one game was because we went to Ottawa and I left my jersey upstairs. And it was the funniest thing for me leaving my jersey upstairs. Okay. So again, I just want to tie it in. That story just really resonated with me. So just about the hard work put in. And like, even listen, sometimes people around you, they may know your skill or think they know your skill. And if you really want something, you just gotta keep working.
Like, see, you know what? I'm gonna wrap this up in a bow. And it's really as simple as it really does pay to work hard, but you want to work hard at something you have a passion for. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key, because the work, although it's difficult, feels like you're making those strides for that reward, and that reward is coming, but you just have to have the patience. This instant gratification does not happen. And I think that's where we are now with social media, with society. I think we're in this this instant gratification mold. And you're in for a reality check. And you had a lot of those reality checks. And I think you came out on the other side a beautiful man, which I really respect. And that's why we're able to have this relationship. So having said that, I want to get into our game, our guess what game. Okay. If you've listened to some of the podcasts, I just do a little game with, just keep it light with my guests, and you're going to be playing for, because I know I've been trying to get you on the Bitcoin train.
Yes.
Not for me, for you, because we're going to be in for, I think my prediction is an epic bull run. We'll see, but you're going to be playing for like a micro Bitcoin. And if you win, I will send you you get a wallet, I will send you a micro Bitcoin. Okay? It's like $10 worth or something right now. But who knows what it'll be in the future. It could be zero, it could be worth 10,000. Who knows? Okay. So you're going to be playing a game. Are you familiar with the $100,000 pyramid, that game?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so basically I'm going to give you clues. Your topic is going to be inspirational movies that involved these phenomenal characters that persevered through struggle. And these movies were inspired by true stories. You're going to have 2 minutes, six movies. If you get stuck on my clues, I might not be the best clue giver. If you get stuck, just say pass, and then we go back to it.
Okay.
So do you understand? Do you understand the game?
I think so.
All right. 2 minutes on the clock. Yes.
What?
This movie starred Cuba Gooding Jr., Robert De Niro. It was in the year 2000. There's three words in the title. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character was training to be an underwater diver for the United States Navy. He faces a lot of racism.
Pass.
Okay. Football movie. Denzel Washington. Black and white kids unite after much struggle with racism. What's the opposite of forget? Pause. Seriously, Asari. The opposite of forget. Oh my goodness. Come on. This requires the Kurt Angle "You Suck" theme song right now. Unpause. Football team in Tennessee in the NFL. It's Tennessee what?
Titans. Oh, remember the Titans?
Yes. 1989 film starring Morgan Freeman as a principal of an inner city school. There's a famous song to it. If you're in a grocery store, you buy this type of ground beef.
What type of ground beef would you buy? Lean?
Pass.
Brutality.
Chadwick Boseman, who just died, playing a famous baseball player. He broke a lot of the color barriers.
42.
Yes. 2015 movie that involved the Boston Globe journalist's investigation into cases of widespread systemic child abuse. The Roman Catholic priests were doing this in the Boston area. When an actor's on stage, there's a light on them. What's that light called?
Spotlight.
Yes. Number six. 2004 movie starring Jamie Foxx, who won the Oscar for his portrayal of this blind man who was a musical genius.
Oh.
One word. Blank of sunshine. You're a blank of sunshine.
Ray of sunshine. Ray.
Yeah, Ray. 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 Yeah. Ray. Okay. We are going to back to number three, 1989 okay. film. A principal of an inner city. What do you at the grocery store when you buy meat? You either buy this type of meat.
Ground beef.
Ground beef is either what? Fatty or not fatty? If it's not as fatty.
Not as fatty. Clean. What kind? Lean.
Yeah. So 19. It's a famous song.
It's a song. Lean on me, y'all.
Yes, lean on me. Good. Oh. Last one. So it's what? Well, who? Where? We're the opposite. We're not women. We are what?
Men.
Yes. Three words. It's the time went.
Cool. What was it? I had no idea.
Men of Honor. You don't remember movie?
No. I wouldn't have got that one. That one I would have not.
That's okay. Close. You know what? You got 5 out of 6. And were my clues good?
Your clues were better than good. They were
outstanding.
Your clues are good. It was just some of them, just off the top, I knew I didn't know the movie. Other ones I did. I was like, yo, why am I just blanking out? Like,
Yeah. So, hey, anyway, you did 5 out of 6. I just don't get – you just don't get the micro Bitcoin. You're going to have to get that for yourself. I'm sure you could do it with all the success. So what's up next for Mr. Sarpong?
What's up next? Well, now that I got my house, hopefully, you know, I can find a beautiful lady, you know, get married, settle down, have some children. And I don't know. We'll see.
That's not bad. You know, trusting God, that's fine. I'm sure there's a path there for you. What advice do you have for the next Asari Sarpong who's in grade 9 and wants to make the basketball team or any team for that matter and has to prove their salt because they're just not the most physically gifted? What advice do you have for that young person?
You know what? I'm going to say the same thing I said when I was in grade 12. I wrote it down in the yearbook. It literally said something like, for all the future ballers, it ended with, for all the future ballers, the only room is the room for improvement.
That's a good one. Is that the last, if I'm going to say any last inspiring words, is that it?
That's it. That's all I have.
Let's say it one more time. Say it one more time. Emphasize it.
The only room is the room for improvement.
I love it. Thank you, my brother. Thanks for joining Tucci Talks.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
We'll definitely be in contact.
For sure. All right. Cheers, brother.
Take care.
I had an off-air conversation with Asari about persevering as a young black man. And he said he never realized the microaggressions until he became an adult. But me as a coach of predominantly black kids, I knew what was happening. I felt it, especially when we traveled to those predominantly white areas and played in tournaments. It was bad without being overt. I just did my best to give these young men the skills needed to navigate this world. So it begs the question, what's the difference between perseverance and resilience? Being resilient seems to fall under a character trait, and that trait can be enhanced and refined through practice. Perseverance is a process, something we journey through. We can persevere together, and that support can help with our own resilience. And I think we're doing that right now as educators during these turbulent times. And I can draw on the strength of individuals like Asari and the other guests I've had on this podcast. So let's continue to move forward and let's continue to fail forward. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please subscribe to the podcast. Give it a like. Next week, we will be exploring digital wellness. The social media era is in full flight, young and old. So there's nothing wrong with emphasizing some tools we can use to improve our digital wellness. Episode 22 is in the books. Season 1 of Tucci Talks is well past the midway point. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in on a weekly basis. Thank you for the constructive criticism. I do my best each week, and that's all I can ask of myself, to keep doing the Daiba. Enjoy the rest of the week. Take care of yourself, and don't ever forget, in this recipe we call life, make sure you add a pinch of, you guessed it, funk to your day.